to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
We need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
Well, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage. We need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, do you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
Welcome to EcoTalk, post-Earth Day edition. Hope you had a nice weekend and got out and celebrated Mother Earth in some way, whether it was taking part in a community cleanup or just donating to your favorite green cause. It is something to practice, of course, every day, honoring Mother Earth, and we just want to remind you to keep doing that. Of course, listeners of this program probably know that. Well, the big news from Earth Day was Mayor Michael Bloomberg's speech. Did you catch it? He called for New York to become the first environmentally sustainable 21st century city. I don't know about you, but when I think of the Big Apple, I don't necessarily think of the Green Apple. But sure enough, he's got a long list of proposals that are both modest and controversial that, if truly implemented, would be for big cities what California's emissions bill, AB 32, was for states. He's taking a cue, I think, from our governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as well he should, because Schwarzenegger is getting so much mileage out of being, you know, this green steward, a guy who, of course, few years ago was seen as just the opposite. Sustainable South Bronx's Deputy Director Michaela Crater will join us to talk about the view from Gotham City, the changes taking place there. Then we'll take a deeper look at Bloomberg's proposal to implement what's called congestion pricing in Manhattan. Commuters will be charged $8 to drive into town. Can it work? Is it politically viable? Paul Steely White of Transportation Alternatives will join us to take a look at the examples already set by London and Stockholm. In our second half, our friend Matisse Walker-Nagel, he's been on the show before. He's with the always innovative group Global Footprint Network. He'll join us to talk about, well, just how innovative they are, enough to attract a $1 million award from the Skoll Foundation. He'll tell us what they plan to do with that money to help the world's governments measure, internalize, and even capitalize on their footprints. And last but not least, tree hugger Simran Sethi. This time she's not asking the questions. She's telling us about what it was like being on Oprah, working with Robert Redford, and being the new face of green media. So that's it for this edition of EcoTalk. That's what's up, and we hope you'll stay with us. We've got a lot of great interviews scheduled starting right now. Want to welcome our first guest, Michaela Crater, again, Sustainable South Bronx's Deputy Director. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Thanks for having me.
So Sustainable South Bronx, we've done interviews before with Majora Carter, certainly has its finger on the pulse of sustainability efforts taking place in New York City. Were you guys expecting an announcement of this magnitude? And I know you did have some input into this project.
We did, actually. We were expecting it partly because Majora did stand on the panel when Tamir announced the initiative back in December. So we expected a lot of splash for the final announcement of the plan.
And so they've been working on the initiative between December and now? It was just released?
Yes. They've done a number of community forums where they've gone to different boroughs in New York City, holding both kind of the high-level stakeholder meetings as well as more community-based meetings. And they've done a fairly good job of reaching out to those meetings. I should say that, you know, based on the two I attended here in the Bronx, a lot of the faces were the same. So I don't know how much of the average citizen actually sat in or weighed in, but I know the web-based opportunities for people to give their comments and thoughts might have gained a little more traction.
I want to ask you what you think overall of the mayor's plan, and then specifically in regards to, you know, what impact that may or may not have on Sustainable South Bronx.
Sure.
Or South Bronx's sustainability effort to be sustainable.
Right. No, overall, you know, we believe, you know, this is definitely long overdue, and we're excited that the city's finally taking the leadership to move forward towards sustainability. I think a lot of other cities throughout the United States have set the bar pretty high, and actually that's kind of one of the ways we looked at this. Long before we heard the mayor was doing this announcement, we had started putting together a compilation of various different initiatives other cities have actually done to move towards sustainability. Examples exist like Chicago and Seattle and Portland, as well as San Francisco. A number of other cities just really are looking at how to get sustainability as part of their agenda, not only for the environmental benefits, but also for economic sense and for their vitality. So we basically were hoping the city would do this, and we started doing our homework, and it kind of came to fruition right when the mayor did his announcement. So it actually was pretty good timing on our part as well as his.
For those who haven't read the New York Times story, how does the mayor propose to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 30%? That's fairly aggressive, although it's not going to happen tomorrow.
No, definitely it's not. Basically, they're looking at a kind of comprehensive approach. They're looking at putting in new power plants that are basically less polluting, as well as doing more green buildings to make more buildings more energy efficient. Those are some of the stronger strategies they're listing so far.
Okay, and how much is going to trickle down to South Bronx? And are you guys going to follow up and say, hey, we want a little bit more, you know, coming our way?
Yeah, we're definitely moving towards that, and actually we've been invited to weigh in on two particular issues, and that's kind of where we're focusing on right now. Then we're going to look at the large report and try to put our two cents on all the different initiatives that the city's listing for achieving sustainability. One of the main areas we're looking at is contaminated land. The goals that they listed for dealing with brownfields, as you might guess, the South Bronx has a number of brownfields and toxic sites. And, you know, there's been a lot of different ways to kind of move those types of sites that are typically, you know, not really marketable, partly because they're in lower income communities. So the economic value for a developer to go in and redevelop it for something is much lower than, say, going somewhere in Midtown where there used to be an old power plant. You know, somebody would be much more attracted to going to Midtown as opposed to the South Bronx. So what often happens is brownfields in places like the South Bronx or another environmental justice communities, the redevelopment we see is too often just another power plant or another bus depot. So basically we experience another form of negative development. So we're already dealing with a negative toxic site, and then we get a little more. The city listed a lot of different initiatives that try to speed up the process of brownfield redevelopment. So that's very exciting because that's definitely what we need. However, it still is uncertain from some of the approaches they're listing as to whether or not they're still linking the issues of environmental justice communities to the redevelopment that would happen. There's ways that you can make sure that those two goals are intrinsically linked, redevelopment and EJ concerns. But, you know, it wasn't really clear from some of the initiatives that they're doing that.
We've had Van Jones on this program several times, of course, and, you know, very excited about his Green Jobs Not Jails programs and initiatives. And I'm sure you are familiar with his work and probably work together. Is any of that reflected in this plan? Because that's something that makes so much sense, you know, really putting these, you know, kids who are, you know, not getting the education and the job opportunities they need to work to green their own communities and to give them income and a sense of self-esteem and purpose and to train them.
One of the ways we see redevelopment in brownfields is a great opportunity for job creation. And that's one thing that really was not listed at all in any of the initiatives that they listed. So that's a significant gap in our opinion, because, you know, these types of communities that bear the burden of hosting more than their fair share of brownfields don't have job opportunities. And the redevelopment that should be prioritized should give job opportunities for these local communities. And that's some of the things we'll, again, be putting forth in our commentary to the plan.
So you will be following up in some kind of report to them?
Yes, we've been invited by the public advocate to weigh on two of the main issues. However, we'll be, you know, doing a little bit more later on, but we're going to be weighing in within the next day or so.
We just have a minute left, but I wanted you to weigh in on with your opinion on charging people $8 to drive in Manhattan. Think that'll make a difference in traffic?
Yes, significantly so. And, you know, particularly in places like the South Bronx, which is, again, bearing a lot of different burdens, one of the major ones we face right now is a lot of highway traffic. And a lot of reports have been done that basically look at the way highway traffic affects health issues. Mm. And in an area that has seven times the nation's asthma rate, it's a big concern. So something like congestion pricing actually would provide a lot of benefits to the health of the community in the South Bronx.
Thanks so much. We've been speaking with Michaela Crater. She's with Sustainable South Bronx. She's the deputy director there, responding to Mayor Bloomberg's outline for greening Manhattan and the environs. And we'll be back with more on that topic right after these messages.